Now, back to Calling All Sports with Rock and Manouche on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Powered by Quicken Loans.
Julian with short motion as Brady takes the snap. Back in the pocket. Throws a lob. Dorsett's wide open. Touchdown, Patriots. In the left corner of the end zone.
Well, he's in the College Football Hall of Fame. Mark May joins Calling All Sports with Rock and Manouche here on SB Nation Radio and SBNationRadio.com. Mark, what's going on, man? Happy New Year to you. We still got time to do that until February hits. How you doing?
Absolutely. Happy New Year to you. I see you had my boy Jim McMahon on earlier.
Yes, we did. Yes.
You won't believe this. Jim and I go way back. In 1981, we were Bob Hope and Kodak All-Americans together, so we spent a long week in L.A.
Well, you know, what's interesting is tomorrow in Scottsdale, the National Quarterback Club, they're having a big award ceremony, and it's interesting, he's going to be honored. Danny White, Jim Kelly, the late Ken Stabler, who else?
Jalen Hurts,
and
Spencer Rattler,
all in town. And what I find interesting is Jalen Hurts and Spencer Rattler, this may be like the second or third time they've even met, and now they're going to be competing for the job there in Oklahoma.
That's got to be something to see. And I'll tell you what, if you're an Oklahoma fan, you couldn't be happier right now. You got two Heisman Trophy winners back-to-back, and now you've got two great quarterbacks coming in to compete for the starting position.
Hey, what's your thoughts? I mean, you know, this offseason in college football has been dominated by the transfers and the NCAA transfer portal. And, you know, this thing is... I think there's fans out there that are just kind of scratching their head because they're not really sure what it's all about. But do you like what has happened so far?
I do, because it gives quarterbacks an opportunity to go ahead and play, and that's what they want to do. Instead of sitting behind an established starter, they know that they're in a position right now where they're going to have an opportunity to transfer and play and play right away. And for some of these schools, it's a great opportunity because it's great for a fan, for us, to watch these quarterbacks, because you look at Jalen Hurts, he's only had two losses. And he's gotten his team to championship games back-to-back years. And here's a quarterback that should be starting someplace. And, you know, fortunately enough, Lincoln Riley's got him under his wing. So he's going to develop better as a passer as he did this year. And for all the other quarterbacks that are transferring to different places, we're going to have an opportunity to see how good they are or how good we thought that they would be. So it's going to be fun this year in college football.
And, Mark, explain how that works. They have to get their release signed by the school before they enter the portal, before they can go ahead and reach out. Explain some of the nuances of what has to happen.
Well, the thing is, the school has to release you, and a lot of schools won't release you because there is a while there that a lot of schools would not release you because they didn't want you to play in the same conference or on a team that's on your schedule that you can compete against them. And it's changed a little bit more now because in the past, remember, Nick Saban wouldn't let his quarterbacks transfer. Now with Jalen Hurts, you've got a player that's played there for a year or two that's come back and has contributed to his team. He was all up for the system because he did it the right way. If you go back and graduate like a Brandon Wimbush, you've got a chance to go ahead, go through the portal, transfer. You can start immediately that year. I think it's great for the young men that they don't have to sit out, and it's great for college football.
I think the other thing, too, is I watch college football, as we kind of put a little bit of a wrap on it right now, 135 young men have already declared to come out of the National Football League draft, and that number is growing every year exponentially, Mark. Are we going to see this as a trend that after that kid's official junior year or their third year, we're going to see more and more of this as time goes on?
Absolutely. And here's the thing. You've got coaches out there that are ahead of the curve. They've been ahead of the curve. Like a Herm Edwards at Arizona State, he's seen it, been there, done that. He knows when he recruits a player, and if that player is a good enough athlete in his mind and thinks going to get to the next level, he knows he's going to be recruiting him for 3 years. And most coaches are starting to drift towards that direction. That if you've got great athletes, Nick Saban knows this, that you bring those athletes in and you develop them, you know you're only going to have them for 3 years because they're that good to make it to the next level. And if you're going to get drafted in the first round or even the second round, you're going to take that opportunity and come back. Everybody has circumstances that are different. Players need the money. Some players are married and have kids already in college. Some players just think it's their time to go. Or some players know that they're going to be drafted in the top 10 or top 15. Why take another opportunity to get hurt or a chance to get hurt? Come out right now when you've got an opportunity to get drafted early in the NFL.
You know, Mark, it looks as though the growth of the spread option RPO is growing in the National Football League. Out here in Arizona, Cliff Kingsbury from Texas Tech, who got fired, went to USC, is now the head coach for the Arizona Cardinals. Is this kind of a knee-jerk reaction by the Cardinals, kind of a fad kind of thing that they're looking to incorporate a guy that's never even coached in the National Football League to be the head coach and run the offense?
Well, I think this is kind of a reach. I think they probably should have hired him as offensive coordinator and gotten a head coach, but you know, this is the way direction that they're going. But a lot of the NFL teams, they want to get that Sean McVay type guy that's been in that system, that knows, that's an open mind offensively, that's willing to run those RPOs, willing to have a mobile quarterback, and taking the NFL to another level. And that's the trend right now. That's what a lot of teams are starting to inch towards, because you look at all the hires out there, and just about all the hires are young guys, except maybe one, Bruce Arians, down at Tampa Bay.
So if you're the if you're Steve Keim, you're the general manager, I mean, what would be your way of making over this Arizona Cardinals team? Is it just all about the offense, or you got a little bit of a defense with the new with Vance Joseph as your DC?
Yeah, you leave the defense up to Vance Joseph, and I want to be Michael Bidwell's concierge.
Okay.
This is how you do it, Michael. You take your quarterback in Josh Rosen, and you trade him right now. Trade him to Denver, trade him to Washington, trade him to the Giants, get a second and a fifth, a second and a sixth. You draft Dwayne Haskins with the first pick in the draft. You also get rid of Patrick Peterson because he's on the back nine of his career. Trade him while you can get good value for him, because this team's the worst team in the NFL. You've got to build from scratch and get draft picks. Build your offensive line. Get some wide receivers that you know can fit into Cliff Kingsbury's offense, because he wants to do an entire makeover of this offense. If you want to take this team to the next level, you've got to be bold. Because if you do the status quo, and if you're the general manager, Steve Keim, saying, well, we drafted like this the last 10 years, this is the type of player we like to get. No, you can't have that type of mentality, because if you do, you're going to be drafted in the first pick next year, or the second or the third pick. If you want these fans to buy in and get excited about the Cardinals again, because so many fans are dismayed last year in this community, you've got to be bold. And being bold is making a statement like that, because you look at Josh Rosen. He's not a mobile quarterback. Every quarterback that Cliff Kingsbury's gotten to the NFL, they're mobile quarterbacks that can run the RPOs in a spread offense and can move out of the pocket. Josh Rosen right now would finish third in a 40-yard dash to a pregnant woman. I could probably beat him in a 20-yard dash, and I'm almost 60. So he's not a mobile quarterback. We know that. So for his offense, it's not conducive. It's not going to be a great marriage. Because, one, if he tries to be a mobile quarterback, he's going to get hurt because he's too stiff. Two, if you try to change your offense, you're defeating the purpose of bringing in a Cliff Kingsbury in the first place.
Well, if you're going to be bold, let's throw caution to win. Why not take Kyler Murray with your first pick of the draft?
I love Kyler Murray, but here's the thing with Kyler Murray. If you put Dwayne Haskins next to Kyler Murray, Kyler Murray right now would have peanuts eaten off his head by Dwayne Haskins, because he's about 6 inches taller. And not only that, he's bigger and more physical. And if you look at the way that he throws the football, what really impressed a lot of scouts and a lot of people that watch football is how Dwayne Haskins got better throwing the football between last year, particularly when he's back up, and this year when he's a full-time starter, how accurate he was with the football. Not only the deep balls, but the short passes that you have to make in the NFL. The quick passes where now when you've got that rush in your face and a 2 to 3 step drop, you got to get that ball out of your hands quickly. He can do that, and he's made that movement, and he's made that improvement, and it's almost between night and day the way he was when he came in as a freshman until where he is right now. He is going to be the first pick in the draft. Somebody's either going to trade up to the Cardinals to get him, or the Cardinals will be smart enough to take him.
He's 2-time Super Bowl champion Mark May. You can follow him on Twitter at Mark_May, joining Rock and Manooch here on SB Nation Radio. Mark, when you look at the NFC Championship game on Sunday with the Rams and the Saints, where are you leaning?
I'm leaning Rams. For me, when you get this far in the playoffs, when you have championship football, you've got to be able to run the ball. And the Rams ran the ball extremely effectively against the Dallas Cowboys. They lose 273 yards, two backs over 100 yards, Gurley and C.J. Anderson. When you can run the ball and you're physical, that's where you get to the next level and you get the Super Bowl and win Super Bowls. And you can go back and look at the statistics. Usually the statistics don't lie. Most of the teams that when they outrush their opponents at this point of the season, you get to the Super Bowl and you win the Super Bowl. On the other side of the ball, hey, there's been an Ndamukong Suh sighting for the first time this year.
Yeah,
he played
good point. Ball,
he played butt to the wall last week, and he was automatic in that game on just about every snap, because I started keying in and watching him saying, I haven't seen this effort out of him in about 4 years, pre-Dolphin effort. That's when he was the meanest man in the National Football League, and he was just a nasty defensive lineman. I haven't seen that effort in at least 5 years out of Ndamukong Suh. If he brings that game the next 2 weeks, the Rams win.
So you look at the Patriots and Chiefs game, and this woe is me from the New England Patriots that, you know, I guess we suck and don't bet against us, whatever. Is this what the Patriots latch on to motivate them to continue to push the envelope each and every year?
Absolutely. Bill Belichick has been a master at that each and every year, and he's told his team that we're not that good, we're not as good as we should be, people don't think we're that good. They always play like garbage at the beginning of the season, but they play their best football in December, and that's when you have to play it. Once you get to January, that's when they start hitting their peak. And you saw against the Chargers, they didn't miss a beat. That was a sharp football team from top to bottom. Brady got the ball out of his hands in 2 or 3 steps. He was magnificent getting the ball. Even when he threw it vertically, he made sure he stepped up in the pocket, rolled the pocket and threw the ball vertically and stepped into his throws. I thought that was extremely impressive. But I'll tell you one thing about this Kansas City team. They played defense last week. Mm-hmm. Against the Colts, their defense, they probably played their best defensive game since Andy Reid's been there. And if they can play like that against New England, they win this game. I'll tell you what, guys, can you tell me a quarterback that's ever faced Tom Brady at the end of the season that's had 21 more touchdown passes, only one more interception?
No.
Never have.
Never.
No.
Never.
Patrick Mahomes, you have 50 TDs and 12 picks.
And let me ask you, how much different is it to watch the national championship in the Bahamas than, say, Phoenix or Buffalo? I mean, is it different? Is it different watching it there?
You know what they say. It's better in the Bahamas, man.
Mark, thanks so much for jumping on, man. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. Anytime. Take care.
Follow him on Twitter, Mark_May. That's 2-time Super Bowl champion, College Football Hall of Fame inductee, Mark May.